I want to start by asking you a question. How are you? It's a question that we're probably asked a lot, but I wonder whether it's a question that we don't always answer honestly. Not because we're seeking to be dishonest, but I wonder whether sometimes we think either the person is really just being polite by asking us that, or we haven't got the time to talk about how you are, or the person's not really particularly interested. Or maybe it's because we haven't really thought how we are. I think that's generally the case in life, but particularly given all that we've been through in the last 18 months. So over the summer, in our summer sermon series, I want us to give us the opportunity of reflecting on that very question. To reflect on how we are in every aspect of our lives. In other words, to reflect on our well-being. So well-being, if you want a description, it's described as a state of being comfortable, healthy and happy. Somebody said it's just feeling well. And actually, I think even the last 18 months has proved that well-being is significant for all aspects, all different ages. Even from tiny babies can be influenced by well-being. And of course, every single age group, well-being for every single age group has been impacted by the pandemic. We've all experienced a roller coaster, maybe different, but we've all experienced a roller coaster of feelings going in and out of lockdown. Maybe that sense of feeling flat, finding it harder to motivate ourselves, low resilience, that sense of being isolated and separated from others. Some of us will have experienced significant loss, particularly loss of loved ones, not being able to grieve properly. The pressure of trying to work at home with schools being closed and kids running around, being furloughed, losing jobs, or having the fear that we might lose our job. Unable to be able to physically gather as God's people. 2 years ago, if you'd have said to me that we couldn't have gathered here, we just wouldn't have believed it. Not being able to hug people. All of those social distance, all of these things have been a massive upheaval which was kind of thrust upon us quickly and in a short space of time. And of course now we're trying to work through what does the new normal look like. Actually, when we think about it, it's no wonder that we have all struggled or we still are struggling. But how do we respond? How do we respond as individuals? How does our community respond? How do we respond at a corporate level? I can remember Lindsay, when we were talking about the Renew Wellbeing space, saying about the fact that actually at work, they were talking about this very same thing about how to take care of wellbeing. How do we respond as a community of God's people? That's what we're trying to do with our Renew HG1. It seems to me that there's never been a more pertinent time for us to reflect on wellbeing as a summer series. Because even before the pandemic, if you look at this graph, there's something called Google Trends. If you put into Google Trends UK, you can type in a word and it shows you how often that word has been searched in Google. So if you look at this graph goes from 2004. So you can see there was a little bit of interest. But even before the pandemic, people were beginning to search and trying to find out about wellbeing. But of course, it massively peaked. You can see that just literally it was June 2021 is the right side. So you can see that wellbeing was already on the agenda, people's agenda, before the pandemic, and it's obviously unsurprisingly jumped since then. And next, let's look at these NHS five steps to mental wellbeing. We just spoke about them earlier. They're kind of what Renew Spaces are built on, about being connected, keeping active, keeping learning, giving, and taking notice. There's kind of some biblical principles in there, even before we say anything else. But actually, it reminds us that we are very complicated beings. We're very complex beings. And actually, if one aspect of our wellbeing is out of balance, and actually it impacts on other aspects of our lives as well. The NHS knows that. The NHS knows that actually we need to think about our well-being holistically. We can't just sort one area out and kind of expect the others to flourish. That we need to be treating the whole holistic. They talk about holistic in order that we might flourish. But actually that wasn't the NHS's discovery. Because that is very much the biblical principles of well-being, in order to flourish in life and having a balance in our life. If you go right back to the beginning of creation. As you think about God creating us, he made us physically, but he also made us as spiritual beings with emotions and feelings. He made us as social beings to be in relationship with each other. That sense of having cognitive and also creative abilities, that sense of living in community, very much reflecting being made in the image of God, the triune God. If you go back to Genesis, we see this beautiful picture of kind of balanced well-being. But then sin entered our world and kind of distorted, and we lost that balance of well-being. Humanity turned our backs on God. And that didn't just impact spiritual well-being for Adam and Eve, but actually they suffered in their whole being. They began to experience shame and feel pain. Work became hard and a chore. Suffering and death entered our world. And we begin to see that there were tensions between Adam and Eve and other human beings as the story continues. Throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we see that promise giving to Abraham, that promise of restoring well-being for humanity. If you look in the Bible, you won't generally find the phrase well-being as a term of itself. But what you will often find is the Bible speaks about peace. And particularly in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that is used is shalom, which many of us will know. That sense of wholeness and well-being running through the Old Testament. That sense of shalom affecting the whole of our lives, every aspect of seeking that sense of wholeness, not just for us as individuals, but also communities and nations. Apparently, over 250 times we find the word shalom in the Old Testament and the equivalent in the New Testament over 50 times. That sense of God's plan for humanity to continue to flourish despite sin being in the world. And of course, that wonderful plan for flourishing culminated in Jesus being sent into the world. If you know anything about the life and the ministry of Jesus, just think for a moment about the healing and wholeness that he offered to people as he encountered them. So think about the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people, he fed them spiritually, but Jesus was also interested in their physical needs, about filling them with bread and with fish. Very often when he healed people physically, he also spoke about healing them spiritually. That sense of Jesus being aware of people's overall well-being and bringing that sense of wholeness and peace. But it was, of course, Jesus' death and resurrection where we have been offered that ultimate sense of peace with God by being in relationship, having that ability to be in relationship and enjoy true peace as we are in relationship with God, that sense of receiving forgiveness from him, to know increased well-being in every aspect of our lives from inside out. And one day that promise, which we've talked about in previous weeks, of perfect restoration and wholeness when Jesus comes again and everything is restored. As our Creator, I think God is best placed to understand and to support us and help us on this journey of renewing our well-being as human beings. So I want us to see that this sermon is not about jumping into the latest cultural fad, although I do think it's helpful for wider people to reflect on well-being and some of the principles we'll talk about. But what I want to do is to talk about and reflect on and address well-being from a biblical perspective, from God's perspective, as God being the source of our well-being. We'll be looking at the Old Testament prophet of Elijah. If you know anything about him, he was a great man of prayer and of faith, very strong man. But actually, in the middle bit parts of 1 Kings, where his story is told, we see that he has a complete burnout and eventually is lovingly restored by God himself. Those strong themes of well-being and restoration we find there. But also to build on the foundations of the passage that Anne read for us just now from Deuteronomy. God's people were called to listen carefully to God's word and obey it. We're called not to forget God and the place of God in our lives, as we thought about in the children's talk very graphically. It's a little phrase in there that God promises that as they enter into the promised land, that if they obey his commands and don't forget God, then things will go well for them. Things will go well for them. But they are called not simply to love the Lord, but they're called to love him with all of their hearts and their minds and strength and beings. In other words, to have God at the center, to love him and to know that sense of holistic understanding of faith. So over the coming weeks, I want us to take active steps to explore these biblical aspects of well-being. I'm going to base it on a book by a pastor, a guy in London called Dave Smith. And we'll be looking at well-being in terms of our mindset, then physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocational well-being. Looking at each of them as we journey through this summer series. And what I'm hoping is as we explore each different aspect of well-being, that each of us can take just one thing away and put it into practice and follow it through in our lives. If you're not able to be here, if you're on holiday, something else, maybe you can pick them up online so that you can explore each of the areas and also that sense of connecting with God. You know, as we come to this series, some of us will be coming to it with that sense of being stressed and burnt out and kind of really feeling anxious. Some of us might be coming to this sermon series feeling pretty good and feeling pretty balanced in all aspects of well-being. I suspect many of us will sit in the middle. But I want to say that all of us need to hear these words in order to reflect on where we are and take active steps in a journey for balancing our well-being. So lastly, as we go on our journey, three things that we'll be taking with us. Whenever we go on a journey, you always need a map. Either a paper map, if you're old-fashioned, on your phone, or something to show you the way. And actually, our map is going to be the Bible, those biblical principles. Inspired by God himself, it gives us a way of navigating this series of well-being. Secondly, you know, whenever we're going on a journey, it's always good to journey with somebody who knows where they're going. Actually, it's good if you've got somebody that knows the way. They can kind of show you and tell you. And so that person is the person of Jesus. And so as we come to this journey over the next few weeks, I want us just to stop now and think about putting Jesus at the center of this journey as we travel individually. Psalm 139 talks about the fact that God knows us inside and out as individuals. And actually, he's given Jesus to journey with us as we journey together. So I want us to make space for Jesus on this journey, the Prince of Peace and Wholeness. And hear God's Spirit. You know, I'm kind of anticipating that God will speak differently to different people because we're all in different places. We've all got different needs. But all of us have those needs. So it's about hearing from God what he's saying to us. You know, I've just begun the habit in the last few weeks of taking 10 minutes. Usually I pray at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. But actually, I've begun the habit of spending 10 minutes in the middle of the day, just rerouting myself through prayer, using the Northumbria Community midday prayer, just as a way of rerouting myself. And actually, it kind of transforms the afternoon. Sometimes the day feels like a spiral a bit. It's a great way to recenter ourselves. And so I'd encourage us to do that, just aware of God's presence. And to make sure that actually we have God at the centre of our lives. Maybe you've never invited God in Jesus into your life. That sense of turning back and putting Jesus at the centre. So if you want to find out more, talk to me about that afterwards. I'd love to talk some more with you. And last but certainly not least, we journey together in community with one another. I don't know if you ever go on journeys, but it's always good to journey with other people when we go on holiday or go travelling somewhere. It's always good to have other people with us. The Bible tells us that two is better than one, particularly since the last 18 months when we haven't been able to gather. I'm hoping that we will really cherish this opportunity of journeying together, encouraging each other, supporting and being able to share and grow together. And so as we finish, as we kind of finish today, but also begin to start this journey, preparing ourselves for this journey. So next week, it's Judith and Sally, but we'll be starting exploring the first one the week after on the 25th. I just want to reuse these words next. Thank you, David. They'll be familiar to many of you. They are part of the Northumbria Community Morning Prayers. I found out the other day that you are able to say very quietly a responsive reading. So as long as you've got your mask on, it's okay. You'll see there's some words in bold. But actually, it just gives us the opportunity, the beginning of this sermon series, to think about offering this space and this time to God and about seeking him with our whole being. So it would be good if you feel able, if you could respond with the words in bold. So one thing I have asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So who is it that you seek? We seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your strength? Amen. Christ, have mercy. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.